Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Global insurer Allianz Commercial recently released its 2024 Safety and Shipping Review, which tracks shipping risks and incidents during the past year. Given that as much as 90% of international trade is transported across oceans, maritime safety is critical. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Captain Raul Khanna, Global Head of Marine Risk Consulting at Allianz Global Corporate and Specialty. Captain Khanna, so glad you could join us today.
Good morning, John, and glad to be here.
So, Captain, 30 years ago, the global shipping fleet lost around 200 large vessels a year. This total fell to a record low of 26 in 2023. Can you explain what's behind the decline of shipping losses?
Yeah, Sean, I think it is a fantastic achievement over the last decade that shipping industry has shown. The losses have fell down more than 70%. The total losses have fell down 70%, which is a great achievement, I think. And it is attributed to many different factors. I think the industry itself has done a lot well with regards to regulation, technology, with regards to keeping up with new changes and emerging risks that have been coming along during the way. And I think they have responded very, very well to the way the industry has changed itself in the last decade or so. I think the regulatory aspect has been keeping pace with the risks that have been coming in for so far. For example, the large risk on fires and decarbonization is the new one. Some of the other risks that we have seen, by and large, the total losses have reduced quite significantly due to the safety aspects increase, which have been taken up by ship owners themselves, but also by classification societies, by other stakeholders in the shipping industry, like the insurers, the support side industries, the shipyard, the builders, and others. So I think there's a great collective effort that is reflected in the numbers. And I think, and I hope we can continue this effort in the coming years.
How are geopolitical conflicts impacting shipping, and what does this mean for global supply chains?
I think this is one of the biggest worries at the moment. In the short term, the geopolitical risks have been causing havoc within the shipping industry, so to say. Ships passing through the Red Sea area as a result of the Gaza war have come under attacks repeatedly. There have been hundreds of instances where ships have been attacked by missiles, by drones, and of late we have seen attacks by automated boats, small boats that have carried larger payloads of explosives and have been fatal in many cases. This conflict has really shown the shipping industry into a light where the actors, the terrorist or other organizations can get into the highlights, get into the headlines by attacking ships, which are cargo ships, which are basically do not have much defenses on them. The increased warfare, the increased technology within these attacks that we have seen, especially like missiles and drones, cargo ships and crews on board the vessels really are not prepared for this sort of a onslaught or this sort of a warfare. In fact, they are not prepared for any sort of a warfare. So we are really concerned as to the number of attacks on shipping. And one of our concerns, the biggest concern, is the seafarers who are caught in this proxy war, so to say, which is impacting them. And we have seen a few losses of life, and we have seen a few ships now lost already. If this conflict continues, and nobody really knows when there will be a solution to this, if at all, the solution will most likely be political. But if this continues, it is a serious concern for everybody impacted. Now, from a global supply chain perspective, what this has done is a lot of ship owners and a lot of vessels are rerouting themselves and adding 10 to 15 days of additional voyage when coming from the manufacturing hubs of the East to the consumption centers of Europe and America. So a typical vessel, which you used to take, let's say 15, 20 days to come around, is adding 10, 15 more days to the voyage. So we are looking at delays. We are looking at goods being delayed. We are looking at the return voyages, empty containers getting delayed to come back to the Far East manufacturing hubs. And that is causing a knock-on effect on supply chains. What we have seen already now in the last few months, the cost of shipping a container from China, for example, to the US or Europe has gone four folds in price. This is adding a large pressure on the per unit cost of goods to be shipped, and the supply chain is going definitely being affected by this. What the solution is really nobody knows at the moment, but it seems like we'll have to find a political solution to this rather than anything else. This is also on the back of the Ukraine and Russia war in the Baltic Seas and in the Black Sea, sorry. And there as well, we have seen quite a bit of disruption of commodities and goods like grain and others, which have been impacted. And adding this to the Middle East and the Red Sea situation is looking very grim at the moment.
Captain Connor, there were more than 200 fire incidents reported on board larger vessels during 2023. That's the second year in a row that this total has been exceeded. What's behind this increase?
I think fire has always been the biggest peril at sea, and we definitely recognize as insurers because we are looking at fire incidents increase for the second year in a row, as you rightly said. And the problem is coming in from two aspects. One, of course, is the misdeclaration of cargo that has not ceased. It has been a concern for many, many years. We have, in our safety and shipping review, raised this concern for quite a few years. That problem doesn't seem to have an easy solution because there are hundreds of thousands of shippers all around the world who are packing containers, and some of them are misdeclaring goods inside the containers to save costs. Especially when the goods are things like explosives or highly goods which can be ignited very quickly, even things like spontaneous combustions, firecrackers, and others. So this misdeclaration can cause fires, and we have seen in many cases it has. And with the size of the ships growing as very, very large over the last few years, we are now looking at 20,000 plus containers on a ship. The chances of having a fire because of a misdeclaration has only increased. So because of all this, we see fire incidents increasing. There are some other causes as well, but I think primarily it's misdeclaration and also the size of the ships and whether the fire detection and fire protection measures have kept pace with the changing size of the ships and the diversification of goods. We also are seeing another new threat in the last few years, which is the batteries, the lithium-ion batteries. There have been so many instances where lithium-ion batteries have caught fire, and we know very well that counteracting a fire or trying to extinguish a fire with lithium-ion batteries involved is a much harder job than any other types of fire. It is becoming more common. There's the number of batteries being shipped in containers and otherwise is increasing exponentially because of the demand that is coming in from the global electrification. What that really means is we are seeing a lot more batteries on board, and not all of them are manufactured to the highest of standards. And when they malfunction, or there's a short circuit, or there's an incident involving these batteries, we end up with fires which are very harder to extinguish. So these are some of the factors that are contributing to the fires.
Are there certain types of ships that are particularly susceptible to fire?
Container ships have, for obvious reasons, because a lot of these batteries and a lot of the equipment and misdeclared cargo goes on container ships. But we have the roll-on, roll-off vessels, the car carriers, which are specific to this problem in the sense that they are carrying hundreds and thousands of cars at times, and some of them are used cars and damaged cars as well, which has been found to be a major cause of fire. We have also seen the new advent of electric vehicles carrying lithium-ion batteries. While it has not been confirmed that these have been source of any fires starting, they certainly will be increasing the complexity of a fire when they are involved in fire. So RoRos have a particular problem, not just the fire itself, but once the fire is started and the extinguishing methods are utilized, typically water, the stability of the RoRo ships also come into question because of their design. Large open spaces within RoRo ships does not help when you are putting copious amounts of water to counteract the fire. And if the drainage system is blocked, you have a loss of stability on these ships. So that's a particular worry that we have with the RoRo vessels.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Are there any particular trends that you're noticing when it comes to cargo theft these days?
Yes, cargo theft has been on the rise. We have seen some very concerning trends in the cargo theft area, especially in the Americas. For example, in North America, the number of claims, theft claims, had increased in the past 6 years in a row, with a 20% increase year on year increase in 2022. So that really is a big concern, and cargo theft is quite disruptive for mid-size and smaller-size shippers because their goods do not reach in time. Obviously, insurances are there to back up and to provide relief in that case, but at the end of the day, there is delay, there is reputational issues, and we've seen this cargo theft growing, in, as I said, for the last few years. Now, the problem of cargo theft is linked to the cost of living. We typically see when the cost of living increases in different regions, the thefts of goods which are everyday goods, which are easier to sell in the gray markets, the criminals become much bolder, and there's more incentive for them to go for cargo theft and petty theft. What we are seeing is also new ways of these criminals trying to utilize new technologies, including cyber theft, to assist them in these thefts. We have seen fictitious pickups by forging different names. We have seen suppliers and shippers who have criminal elements infiltrating their organizations and then picking up goods under false identities and then taking away the goods and not reaching the destination. And obviously, this is a big concern that we've seen across. Americas is not the only place. We have seen these thefts in countries in Europe as well, like Germany, Spain, Italy as well. So a lot of our clients are at the moment worried about and concerned about the cargo thefts, which has been increasing. And this is something that I think industry will have to really work on it. Now, organizations like TAPA, which is Transport Asset Protection Associations, are working hard to revise the standards, to provide a lot of good training, quality training and education to its members, which are some of our shippers, including ourselves. But I think a lot more needs to be done if the trend continues, as we have seen the last few years.
And I understand the International Maritime Organization is setting some targets to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Can you talk to us about that?
I think in the long term, this is the biggest challenge that the shipping industry is facing. Decarbonization of shipping has been talked about now for a few years, but I think last year, IMO finally gave in to a lot of pressure from the international industries, international political landscape, where they asked IMO to align their targets with the IPCC targets, which is becoming net zero by 2050. This target is quite aggressive for the shipping industry, considering the fact that IMO had a 50% reductions in greenhouse gas emissions till 2050 previously, and now there is a 50% increase. That means we are looking to get shipping to a net zero position as far as greenhouse gas condition is concerned by 2050. This aggressive increase in the targets means that shipping industry will have to do a lot more than we previously thought. And the overall landscape is that the ship owners are obviously worried about how we are going to achieve. And in fact, in general, the industry itself is looking to find different ways of how we are going to address the decarbonization of shipping. The biggest issue that we see is really there is no clear solution at the moment as how we are going to achieve net zero by 2050. We are looking at various types of alternative fuels. Industry is already seeing things like methanol. We are looking at ammonia. We are looking at some of the other measures of different alternative fuels. But there is no consensus at the moment as to which is going to be the fuel of the future to get us to 2050. Most likely scenario is going to be that we will have a combination of these, and as far as alternative fuels is concerned. But the alternative fuels, when we adapt some new technologies, new fuels, it also comes with additional risk, which is something that we are concerned with at the moment. With the decarbonization targets to 2050 coming in, we had some studies which we saw that the amount of new cash or new investment required for the shipping industry to achieve that was something estimated to be in the range of $1.5 trillion in the next 30 years, which is an eye-watering number. And the performance of green bonds of late has also raised the concerns whether the industry will be able to raise that much capital to try and fund all the green new technologies, the green new ships, the new designs, and the infrastructure that is needed to go along with this in the next 20 to 30 years. IMO has also put down some interim targets, which are also quite aggressive. For example, there's a target for 40% reduction of CO2 emissions by 2030, which is only 6 years away, and then to cut the total GHG emissions from shipping by at least by 20% by 2030 and by 70% by 2040. Now, these are aggressive intermediate targets. So it is not that the shipping industry can sit and wait for a magic solution by 2050 to arrive. So they'll have to do. This has to be a continuous process. We have started already, and some good work has already been done. But I think the challenge is huge in front of us.
Captain, is the insurance industry supporting this transition?
Absolutely. I think we, because of our clients' concerns, we obviously have our concerns with this. Insurance industry themselves has their own targets of decarbonization, decarbonizing their portfolios in some sense. There are quite a few initiatives in the market, like Poseidon Principles of Marine Insurance and some of the other initiatives that are going on in the insurance industry themselves. Insurers like Allianz, and we are now looking at new products to support our clients in the risk that are coming along with in the decarbonization journey. For example, the new European Union emissions trading scheme, which is coming in as new taxes for ships which are coming into European waters, and based on the number of emissions or amount of emissions they are producing when they are within European waters, is a new big challenge for the shipping industry and the cost worry. And a lot of insurers are debating about it, and we at Allianz are also trying to find additional ways of finding new products where we can help our clients to get this risk transfer going so that they are not hit by these new additional fees and cost and also fines if they are not complying. Apart from that, I think we are also working very closely with some of our clients on their journey to decarbonization, especially in terms of when they are early adopters of new technology or early adopters of new alternative fuels. We are working with them to see how we can provide them uninterrupted cover on their policies, whether it's a cargo policies or whether it's hull insurance policies. This work, this collaboration between us and our clients is extremely important for our clients to keep working on the technologies, keep working on these aggressive claims for decarbonization while keeping the worries of risk with their insurers. So it needs to be a lot of dialogue. We need to understand as well what they're doing, because this is all new for everybody in the industry. And this continuous working together is going to help us and help our clients achieve the 2050 aggressive targets of decarbonization.
Captain Connor, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be with you.
I was Captain Raul Connor, Global Head of Marine Risk Consulting at Allianz Global Corporate and Specialty. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.